Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, I'm about to go live in about 2 seconds. All right.
It's Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, give it all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah's holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted word, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our Father, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King, he's our Judge, he's our Lawgiver, and Yah is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah once again for this great blessing, for allowing me to come to you, before you, to talk about his great, holy, and exalted word. We bring it to you the various laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh that is written in the book of the law. And we're not writing down every law, every statute, every judgment, although we have identified the very laws, the very statutes, the very judgments of Yahweh to separate them from one another. But Yahweh wants you to know his testimonies as well. So he inspired me to write a study guide. A study guide that will help you understand his words and the various books of the law. The law of Moshe. The scriptures of truth. The book of Yahweh is the book of Genesis, where we began our discussions yesterday dealing with the generations of heaven. And the Creator showed me that there's 12 generations in the book of Genesis. You can search this out yourself. All you have to do is put in the word generations, and all the 12 generations that we're speaking of, you will see. And I encourage you to do so, so you can know that what I'm telling you is the truth. The first generation that Yahweh speak of is the generations of heaven. And then he will speak of the generations of the earth, in which we're going to deal with tonight. Now, in studying the generations of heaven, we just put in our study guide what happened, what Yahweh did. Of course, he made the heavens on the second day, where he created and put a firmament in the midst of the waters and separated the water from the waters. And he called that firmament heaven. But Yahweh, till he got to the fourth day. So we had to marry the second day and the fourth day together. Because then Yahweh will put light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night and to put light on the earth. And he said these lights will be for signs, seasons, days, and years. And of course, he made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. But when Yahweh would do this thing, he did it on the fourth day. But they all are the generations of the heavens. But Yahweh would do similar to the earth. But before we get into the earth, and in between the earth, there's a creation that Yahweh called the seed. Now, Yahweh will never talk about the generation of the seed, because the seeds are formed by the heavens as well as the earth. It has something to do with both, as you will see. But first, let me just recap what happened. So our study guide is meant for you to take the generation of heaven, study the word of Yahweh everywhere it talks about the heavens, everywhere it talks about the heavens of heavens, everywhere it talks about heavenly, in other words, you want to know everything about this heaven. And the only way you will know is that you study the generation of the heaven. So we didn't put everything in our study guide for you to know. This is just something to guide you in your study and understanding the day it was born and what it produced is essential. This is what Yahweh said about the heaven in the book of Psalms 115. In the book of Psalms 115, I'm going to read verses 15 and 16, and watch what it says. You are blessed of Yahweh, which made heaven and earth, the heaven, even the heavens are Yahweh, but the earth has he given to the children of men. So in other words, Yahweh wanted to make things crystal clear. The heaven was for him. The heavens is where he dwells. The heavens is where his throne resides. But earth, he has given, he has made for the children of men, and he did not make it in vain. And we have to know what comes from the heaven and what comes from the earth. What are the laws of heaven and what are the laws of earth? Do you honestly believe Yahweh just started giving us laws when we became a nation, when we left Egypt and went into the wilderness? No, Yahweh has always given the righteous, always given his servants, always given his sons his ways. His ways are his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. Ask yourself, would you share your ways with your sons and your daughter and give them the law that you believe in and that you keep? Well, so did Yahweh. One of these laws we brought out last night with the heaven, and I want to read this law again because I know a lot of people don't even know that this is a law, yet they break it every day. And watch what this law says. In the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, the 6th verse, watch what this says. Do you keep this law? Most people think they keep it. But the truth is, they do not, because they don't even know this is a law. And most of our people, if they knew it was a law, ask yourself, do you think they would keep it anyway? Watch what it says in the book of Proverbs 16. And this is what it says in the 6th verse. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. In other words, if you are concerned about your iniquity, if you're concerned about the iniquities of your fathers, well, there's a way to purge it. Ask yourself, do you really want these things purged? And the way to purge it is by mercy and truth. It says, and by the fear of Yahweh, men depart from evil. Well, I thought you said you was going to show us a law. Well, the truth is, mercy is a law. The truth is a law. Just to show you that it's the law, that chances are you don't keep. Watch what it says. In the book of Proverbs 31. In the book of Proverbs 31, and watch what this says. We're talking about the heavens. We're just recounting on the heavens. There's other things we're going to show you concerning the heavens. But we're trying to jumpstart you in your study. In the book of Proverbs 31, we're going to start reading the 25th verse. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. This is not talking about wisdom. This is talking about a virtuous woman. And watch what it says about this virtuous woman. This is not a woman of virtues. No, this is a virtuous woman. Because many have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And let me show you why. Let me show you one of the laws that she keeps. This is what it says in the 26th verse. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's what's in her tongue, the law of kindness. In other words, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Kindness is mercy. And if you understand the law of mercy, yes, you can purge your iniquity. If you understand the law of truth, yes, you can purge your iniquity. And we showed you yesterday that these laws, these statutes, these judgments, these testimonies, these commandments, they come from one, the one who sits on the throne of high. The Creator said, heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. So where do you think these laws coming from? They coming from heaven. They coming from the Most High. And there's laws that the Almighty sent into the earth that we might know them and do them. Said the law of truth. Watch this in the book of Psalms 119. In the book of Psalms 119, and we're going to read verse 142. How can you begin to truly serve Yahweh, truly have a relationship with Yahweh, understand Yahweh, and you know nothing about the generations of heaven? What the heaven produced. What it is, do you realize that all your blessings come from heaven? All your blessings. And there's only one way that Yahweh gave us to be blessed. And we'll talk about that. But in the book of Psalm 119, this is what it says in verse 142. It says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And what is our righteousness? According to the scriptures, the commandments, the statutes, the judgment is our righteousness. According to the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 20th verse, the commandments is our righteousness. But what is the law? In verse 142 says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and the law is the truth. It's not just a law. It is the law. The law is the truth, which takes a rocket scientist to know that in order for you to execute the truth, you must keep the law. And these laws come from heaven. Why do you think Moses had to go up into the cloud to receive the law? And we're going to talk about that. But that's how important it is for us to understand, for us to know the generations of the heavens. And just one more thing about the heavens. Yahweh is the king of heaven and earth. So other than his son, what do you think Yahweh wants his kings to do? The kings of the earth to do, especially the kings, his law. And let me show you in the book of Deuteronomy, the book of the law. And you'll read this in the book of Deuteronomy. The 17th chapter, and watch what it says. In the book of Deuteronomy, 17, we're going to start at the 15th verse. Let's start at the 14th verse. It says, when you have come into the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set over me light as all the nations that are about me. Now, of course, when this was written, our people had not said such a thing. They hadn't said this yet. The words that our people had said by this time is that we don't want to hear the voice of Yahweh. You speak to us, Moshe, and tell us what Yahweh has to say to us. But let not Yahweh speak to us anymore, lest we die. Now the people want Yahweh to speak to them. But our ancient fathers, they rejected hearing the voice of Yahweh. And Yahweh said, they are well spoken in which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet. And this is what Yahweh did. But now, before, when our people came into the land, they had not thought about setting a king over them. But ultimately, if you know the scriptures, if you understand these generations, you would know this is exactly what our people ask. They ask for a king to be set over them. That's why this law was here even before, way before we even asked the question of set a king over us. And look what Yahweh said in the 15th verse. You shall in any wise set him king over you, whom Yahweh, your Elohim, shall choose. In other words, if you're going to ask for a king to be set up over you, you don't set up in just anybody, because this is a law. The one that you set over you is one that Yahweh shall choose. And then not only Yahweh choose it, but it has to be one from among your brethren shall you set king over you. So it can't be some stranger or foreigner. Watch what it says. You may not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother. And here it is today. Our people set all kind of politicians over them. Then it says something else about this king, that this king is not to do, because Yahweh didn't want his king, his servant, his messenger. The English word king comes from the Hebrew word malek or malak, which means messenger. That's what a king is. And watch what it says in the 16th verse. But he shall not, and who is he a messenger of? Yahweh. Then where is Yahweh? In heaven. But he shall not multiply horses to himself. I can see if he needs a lot of horses because of the government that he's running, but he's not to do this to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he shall multiply horses. For as much as Yahweh has said to you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. I can understand this father and that father want to give you their daughters. But just to go out looking for a bunch of wives, a bunch of, for what? For what purpose? What is the purpose behind this thing? Surely there got to be some purpose. And why didn't Yahweh want you to do this? That his heart turned not away. Because Yahweh didn't want him distracted. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. You the king, man. What you got to get rich for? You the king. You got the power. In other words, stay humble. But this is the part that I wanted you to see concerning the king on earth, when we hadn't even gotten to the earth yet. And it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, that which is before the priest, the Levite. In other words, the same law that was given and handed down from the King of Heaven, Yahweh wanted the king on earth to make a copy of it. And what was he to do with it? The 19th verse. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear Yahweh his Elohim, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. And that's exactly what you would do if you begin to study all the various laws. I hear people talking about, that's not a law. That's not a law. They don't know what's a law, because they have not studied the generations of the heaven, the generations of the earth, and all the other generations, that Yahweh will show you his law. The 20th verse, that his heart is not lifted up above his brethren. Because once you begin to study the law, then the law keeps you humble. It keeps you grounded. Because by law, you can't even approach Yahweh but with humility. You would think that wouldn't even have to be a law. But for a rebellious and stiff-necked people, yes, Yahweh had to make a law to be humility, to be humble. That his heart is not lifted up above his brother, and that he turns not to the side from the command, to the right hand, to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And I'll show you that if you're not keeping the laws of Yahweh, there's no way you can be humble. Humility comes through honor. And honor comes from Yahweh. Now we're going to get into something that is, it comes from the heavens and the earth. And Yahweh call it the seed. It's also in our study guide. But we didn't write all the things you need to know about the seed and all the various laws that pertain to the seed. We just given you his birthday as well as his genealogy. Because once you know those things, now all you got to do is study the seed. And look what Yahweh said about the seed in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. And again, it's in the study guide. All you got to do is use the study guide to write your notes. From studying the generations of the heaven, write your notes. Then go to the seeds, which is not a generation at all. Even though it has a day it was born on. But Yahweh never said the generations of the seed. But he did say something about the seeds that you need to know about. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, look how Yahweh and what Yahweh would do on this day. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 20th verse. And Elohim said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that has life, and fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So here this water producing not only creatures in this water, but even the fowls that fly above the earth. What you call them? Birds. 21st verse, and Elohim created great whales, every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. In other words, if fowls did not come from water, Yahweh would have never described them as winged fowls after his kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. This is one of the things you're going to learn about the things that's produced from the seed. Watch what it says in the 22nd verse. And Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. In other words, this is the first thing that Yahweh will bless. The very first thing he will bless. And these things was done on the fifth day. But mind you, that's not when the seas was made. This is what the seas produce. This is where these things originated from, their origin from the seas on the fifth day. But the sea itself, let me show you when that was made. In the ninth verse, this is what it says. And Elohim said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together to one place. Now remember, when Yahweh made the heavens, he put a firmament in the midst of the water. The waters, and there was waters above this firmament, and there was waters below this firmament. That was on the second day. So let us read this ninth verse again. And Elohim said, let the waters under the heaven, and the heaven is called firmament, gather together to one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And Elohim called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And Elohim saw that it was good. Now Yahweh will make this on the third day, B.C. But the creatures, the whales, the winged fowl, all was produced on the fifth day. And this is why all these things had to be put in a perfect balance. Sea has a lot to do with the heavens because it is the waters under the heavens. Because Yahweh separated the waters from the water. So the waters under the heavens, Yahweh made he see, but it came from the heavens. But yet, Yahweh would do this on the third day when he made the earth. And that's why I said the seas have everything to do with the heavens as well with the earth. Another way you know the seas have everything to do with the heavens and the earth, we notice on that fifth day, Yahweh was saying that 21st verse, and Elohim created great whales, every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly. This is what the waters brought forth after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. Yes, this water brought these winged fowl out. But then when you read Genesis, the second chapter, and watch what it says in Genesis, the second chapter. And we're going to start reading at the fourth verse. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that Yahweh Elohim made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. But Yahweh Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, watered the whole face of the earth. and Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I'm reading too early, actually. Let me read that again. Not that part, but the part I wanted you to see is in the 19th verse of Genesis, the second chapter. Because it has everything to do with the heavens and the earth. Watch this. And out of the ground, Yahweh Elohim formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. Well, I thought the water, I thought the seas produced the winged fowl. So why is it telling me in Genesis 2 and 19 that Yahweh will form every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought it to Adam to see what he would call it? And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave name to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. See, he named them. So these fowls not only come from the waters, the seas that was under heaven also come from the earth. Both to fly in the open air or the firmament of heaven. And this is the sea. But to know all the ins and the outs and the importance of the seas is essential. Seas have everything to do with the water. The only reason it's called sea, because there are bodies of water that gather themselves together, as Yahweh commanded. But these seas are essential for us to understand the life that is made therein, the life that's produced there. So it's important to know the law of the sea, and it's connected with the heavens and earth. Now we're going to take the time to get into the earth. And you know that the earth is the footstool of Yahweh. Only the earth was made and began producing on the third day, in which we're going to read. Let's read that first. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, again. The 11th verse. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, the earth yielding seed, fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself on earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, earth yielding seed after its kind, the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his time. And Elohim saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the third day, because all this was done on the third day. But Yahweh, just like the heaven, was not done and completed, began to finish it on the fourth day. Just like the seas, even though it was completed on the third day, Yahweh then began producing its things of the sea until the fifth day. Here on the earth was made on the third day. and began producing the grass, earth yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. Yahweh started producing that. But Yahweh, even though that was complete, still Yahweh was not done. Because Yahweh would do something on the sixth day that became his greatest creation. And you'll read about this great creation in Genesis, the first chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 24th verse. And this is what it says. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. So in other words, Yahweh began on this sixth day creating the various earthly creatures, land creatures. And Elohim made the beasts of the earth after his kind, cattle after his kind, everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. In other words, he completed this thing. That's what it means when he said he saw that it was good. It means it's complete. There was nothing left to do in that creation. But Yahweh was not finished working on this sixth day. Further, it would say, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our life, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. And just like the fowl of heaven, just like all the sea creatures that have life, and the great whale, the creeping things, after its time, Yahweh will bless them. Just like he will bless man. But man will get a double blessing. And people don't know about this double blessing that the sixth day produced. Well, watch what it says. And Elohim blessed it. And Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, to do it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And Elohim said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree, and which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. He did all that on the third day. To you it shall be for food. But now we're on the sixth day. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And Elohim saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So all this took place on the sixth day. Yahweh will do twice as much on the sixth day that he would do in any other day. So what Yahweh would do in his infinite wisdom that our people don't even consider, this, have never thought about this. Here it is. Yahweh will work 6 days and complete everything and say everything that he had done was good. But ask yourself, what would Yahweh do after these 6 days? Well, let me show you what Yahweh will do. Because this will tie in everything, every generation, to the law of the Most High. Watch this. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, the very first verse, look what Yahweh will say. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Why would Yahweh bless the seventh day? He didn't talk about blessing no other day. Why would Yahweh sanctify this day? And he didn't talk about sanctifying no other day. Well, he tells you why. Because that in it, he had rested from all his work which Elohim created and made. In other words, he had a whole day to reflect. A whole day. Not that he needed that, because after he made things and created things, afterwards he said he saw that what he did was very good. So he didn't have to reflect at all. But he rested. The word rest comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease. It means to stop working. And so not only he ended his work, he ceased from his work, he sanctified this day, and he blessed this day, the seventh day. And Yahweh don't, he wasn't on earth working. Yahweh was working from heaven. Yahweh, the heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Which means in heaven, Yahweh kept the Sabbath day. In heaven, there's a calendar. And it's a seven-day calendar. Why do you think we got a seven-day calendar? Because that's the same calendar that's in heaven. If Yahweh rested on the seventh day, what do you think the angels are doing? You think they're working while Yahweh resting? No. And Yahweh is resting. And since Yahweh said he made man in his image and his likeness, what in the world do you think Yahweh want us to do? Do you think Yahweh want us to do something opposite of him? Did not we tell you over and over and over that these laws come from heaven? Watch what this says in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. People will tell you, we didn't keep the Sabbath day. The only time we kept the Sabbath day is when we were in our holy land. And that's not the truth at all. Not if you understand the generations of the heaven and the generations of the earth. Yahweh himself kept the Sabbath day. And you think he was the only one keeping the Sabbath day in heaven make sense to you? It does not make sense to me. Watch what it says. In the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 8th verse, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And why do Yahweh want you to remember this? And why do he want you to keep it holy? Do he want you to remember this because this is what he commanded you in the wilderness? No. Do we want you to remember this because this is what he commanded you in Mount Horeb? No. Did Yahweh want you to remember this because this is what he commanded in Mount Sinai? No. Yahweh is going to tell you why he wanted you to remember this. Because the word remember come from the Hebrew word zikron, which means to memorialize. And when you memorialize something, it's something that you're doing over and over and over again. Now watch, so you can see why Yahweh wants you to remember this. 6 days shall you labor all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim. In it, you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gate. In 6 days, Yahweh made heaven. In other words, Yahweh is about to explain to you why he wants you to do this on the seventh day. Not because he commanded in Horeb. Not because he commanded it in Mount Sinai. But he wants you to do this because this is what he did. For in 6 days, Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This is why Yahweh wants you to do this. Because it came from heaven. Because he did it himself, heaven. And he will hand this thing down to us on earth so that we might know, that we might remember, and that we might memorialize what he did. So we do it ourselves, regardless if we're in the wilderness, regardless if we're in captivity, regardless if we're in Jerusalem. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is the generations of the earth. He did it in heaven. So now he wants you to do this thing on earth. We'll rest, our servants rest, Yahweh rested, and Yahweh's servants rested in heaven. This comes from the heaven, but it also is executed on the earth. This is the law. This is why we got to study the generations of heaven, the generations of earth. This is why we have to study the sea. Watch this in the book of Exodus 23. The first thing that Yahweh would do with Adam is not give him a wife. That was not the first thing Adam did after he was made. Adam was made. He began attending to the beast of the earth and the fowl of heaven. And the, see, he began to have dominion. And it said he named them all. He started giving them names. His first course of action is to deal with the things that the earth produced. Then Yahweh will give him a job. And that job that Yahweh gave Adam was to tend the garden. And he told him not to eat of every tree in this garden. Then Yahweh gave him a wife. And that wife was not made like Adam, come from the dust of the earth. She was uniquely designed because she came from him. But nevertheless, Adam's first job was to tend to the garden in which produced and named all the beasts. In which the earth produced. So Adam began work. He worked for his food. He worked for his wife. He worked for Yahweh. Because Yahweh the one told him to tend to the garden. Now ask yourself, the same Yahweh that gave him this wife, the same Yahweh who gave him this job, to tend to the garden. Do you honestly believe that this same Yahweh didn't tell him to rest on the seventh day, a day that he blessed, a day that he hallowed, a day that he ended his work? He didn't tell him to do that. After Yahweh himself rested after his work. But he didn't tell Adam to do the same. No, he told Adam. Adam was blessed. He blessed Adam and Eve. And look what the law say in Exodus 23. And we're going to start reading in the book of Exodus 23, verse 10, 6 years you shall sow your land. Where do you think that got that from? You think that came from heaven? Sure it did. Yahweh's calendar period came from heaven. And shall gather in the fruits thereof. But the 7 years you shall let it rest and lie still. And why? Why do you do this in the 7 year? That the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner, you shall deal with your vineyard and with your olive grove. So we're not like the heathen that will feed a beast, that will cover up a beast, that will protect a beast, that would attend to a beast before they attend to mankind in which they came from. What kind of sense do that make? But that's what's going on today. And you wonder why the whole earth is out of court. Watch the 12th verse. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, because that's what Yahweh did. And on the seventh day, you shall rest. And why? Is that rest just for you? Was that rest just for Yahweh? No. and your donkey may rest. Yes, Yahweh want them resting too. And the son of your handmaid, your servant, and the stranger, someone you might have hired, may be refreshed. In other words, this day is holy. This day is hollow. This day is for Yahweh. So we can remember that Yahweh rested in this day. So now let us learn about Yahweh. Because once you begin to study all these generations, oh, you're going to know Yahweh. You're going to know him. Because this is how he wants you to study his word. There's 12 different generations in the book of Genesis. And we just at number 2, which means we got 10 more generations just to know the book of Genesis by itself. Furthermore, in the book of Exodus 34, let us turn there. Because now we're talking about the generations of the earth. And how can you talk about the generations of the earth, the food, the livestock, and mankind that the earth produced, where we come from, and not talk about our service in the earth? We are the ones that's made to attend the business of the earth. It was made for us. So now we have to be the ones that have dominion to do the work necessary. And when we do this work, we must do it by law. Watch what it says. Exodus 34, verse 21. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In earing time and in harvest you shall rest. In other words, when you're planting, I know you want to get everything planted. I know that's a busy time because you got to get this stuff in the ground. You got to plant these things. But you also still have to rest by law. I know in harvest time, I got to get all this stuff up. I planted a lot of stuff. It's all growing. And now I got to work extra hours to harvest this thing. Yahweh know that. Because he has blessed you. He has blessed your harvest. But you still have to rest. And why? Because you got to remember where your blessings come from. That's why you got to know the generations of the heavens. You got to stop and rest in the one that made you on the sixth day. You part of his creation. And you're not going to stop and rest just because you're in captivity, just because you're in the wilderness, just because you're not in the land. I'm not going to rest and memorialize this thing, because the only time I need to remember that Yahweh made me is in the land. That makes no kind of sense. Yahweh wasn't just talking about you. He made you and everything else in 6 days. So he wants you to memorialize the fact that he made you, the things that you eat, the air that you breathe in, the water that you drink, the blessings of your hands, but you would take that time to act a fool. And why? Because you really don't know the generations of the heaven and the earth. You really don't know and remember the labor and work that Yahweh did in the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. And to memorialize these things, to remember these things, you got to rest in the 7 day. You got to hallow the 7 day and bless the 7 day. But if you don't, make no mistake about it, the 7 day is still hallow. It's still blessed. And Yahweh still ended his work. And not only Yahweh would do that with the 7 day, Yahweh also would do this in Exodus 31. Show you how important that is. How can you talk about the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, and not remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? The very day you're supposed to talk about these things, the very day you're supposed to remember these. In the book of Exodus 31, and I'm going to start reading at the 12th verse. Now, this is where Israel becomes great hypocrites. Because this is to Israel right here. In the book of Exodus 31 and 12, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak you also to the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation. And that's what we're talking about, the generations of the earth, the generations of the heaven, that you may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you. And what do that mean? I'm separating you. I'm telling you about this Sabbath day since everybody don't want to hear about it. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. So the Sabbath day is not just a law. It's not just a commandment. Also, it's a covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. What is the sign, Yahweh? For in 6 days, Yahweh made heaven and earth. And on the 7th day, he rested and was refreshed. And so you know that this came from Yahweh. Watch the 18th verse. And he gave to Moshe when he had made an end of speaking with him upon Mount Sinai. 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of Elohim. So as you can see, this comes from Yahweh. This don't come from man.
How would you not know this if you studied the generations of the heaven, the generation of the earth, and the sea, and all that is therein? And yes, there's many things that you know need to know about these generations, things that I'm pointing out. But what am I pointing out? That there's laws that you never even consider because you don't know about the heaven. There's laws that was in the earth way before we became a nation of Israel that you need to do, that you need to execute, where you need the knowledge of Elohim, and you need to reconsider how you're being taught the laws of the Most High. Adam kept the law. Why wouldn't he? Why would Yahweh hold that from him, but not hold him working at a job, tending the garden? And if he did give it to Adam, why would Adam hold that from his son? And why would Adam's son hold that from his son? So as you can see, studying these things, there's an abundance of knowledge. The knowledge of Elohim that we need to know and that we need to consider. And this is what Yahweh said about his knowledge in the book of Hosea, the last scripture I'm going to bring to you today in studying the generations of the heaven and the earth, also the sea. Even though we don't talk about the generations of the sea, but he made it, he created it, and we need to discuss it. But in the book, Hosea, last scripture, the sixth verse, for I desire mercy. And we already established the fact that mercy in of itself is one of the laws of Yahweh that we're not doing, that we're not keeping as a people. And not sacrifice. The knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. These are the things that Yahweh desire for us to know, desire for us to do, and we will never know it. We will never do it if we don't study these generations. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.